I'm Clark Boyd, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Stephen Flaherty was a talented athlete. He dreamed of becoming a professional baseball player. He even went to college on a baseball scholarship.
One of his teammates on the baseball team said that he remembered being a freshman starting out for the team, and Steve was showing him the ropes and how hard he needed to practice and go that extra mile. And after he explains all that, he said, and the things that Steve taught me on that baseball field were not just for baseball, but they were life lessons. And that's the kind of guy Steve was.
But his major league dreams ended in 1967. That's when Flaherty enlisted in the U.S. Army. A year later, he was a sergeant in the 101st Airborne Division, serving in Vietnam. Flaherty died in combat there on March 25, 1969. He was 22 years old. Like many young soldiers, Flaherty wrote letters to family and friends back home. When he died, he had four unsent letters with him. Two were for his mother, one was to a neighbor, and one was to a friend. Those letters were found on his body and used as propaganda by the North Vietnamese government. They were read aloud on Radio Hanoi in an effort to lower the morale of American soldiers. Then last year, a retired POW MIA expert noticed a mention of unsent letters in a Vietnamese online magazine. He set out to get them delivered. Last month, the letters were handed to Defense Secretary Leon Panetta during his visit to Vietnam. And on Saturday, 43 years later, Sergeant Flaherty's family finally got them. Martha Gibbons was Stephen Flaherty's sister-in-law.
We have not yet opened the letters. Saturday was just too emotional for us, and so we have decided to wait until our emotions calm down a little bit before we open them. And the first time we can get together as a family is Wednesday evening, so that's our plan.
I understand, though, that you do have excerpts from the letters.
Yes, we do.
Is there an excerpt or two that you could or would like to read to us?
Yes, I could do that. I have an excerpt from three letters that I would share with you. The first was to his mother. And in it, he says, if Dad calls, tell him I got too close to being dead, but I'm okay. I was real lucky. And then later, he says, I'm ready for my R&R. Don't know yet where I'm going and don't care, just as long as I get a much-needed rest that I need. We'll let you know where. I'll write again soon. He wrote, our platoon leader was killed, and I was temporary leader until our replacement. We got our replacement. Nothing seems to go well for us, but we'll take that Ridge Hill. Thank you for your sweet card. It made my miserable day a much better one. But I don't think I will ever forget the bloody fight we're having. Felt bullets going past. Never been so scared in my life.
This isn't the typical story of a young American wanting to serve his nation. Can you tell me a little bit about his history?
Oh, yes. Steve was born in Oiso, Japan. When he was like about two or three, his mother had to take him to Elizabeth Sanders' home, which was a Japanese orphanage for Japanese-American children, because at that time in history, Japanese-American children were not accepted. They were kind of persecuted, so she had no choice but to give him up for his safety and for her to be able to get a job and make a living. Steve's brother, to whom I was married, was stationed in Oiso when he was in the Army. And on his free time, he found out about the Elizabeth Sanders home. And he went down and started working with these young kids and had a church here in Columbia send him a lot of baseball equipment over there. He taught these kids to play baseball. When he got ready to come home, he wanted to bring one of these children with him. He was single at the time and couldn't do it. So he talked his parents into adopting one. And Steve was the one that was adopted. So he came from a very meager background, and I think that is why Steve was so eager to help everybody, and I think that's why ultimately he gave up the opportunity to be a professional baseball player, to serve the country that had given him a home and given him so much of an opportunity.
Wow, that's an amazing tale. I want to bring in Robert DeStott at this point. Robert joins us from his home in Temecula, California, and Robert, I understand that you're responsible for stumbling upon these letters, that the fact that they even exist. Tell me a little bit about how you found out about them.
I had received a question from a person who's writing about some of our former prisoners of war, and I was looking through Vietnamese websites looking for information to answer his question when I stumbled on this series of articles that described Sergeant Flaherty's letters. I realized immediately that this would be something of interest to veterans of his unit and to his family if we could find them.
So how did you find Martha Gibbons and the Flaherty family then after you learned about the letters?
I sent a letter to Richland County Sheriff, explained the purpose of my search and asked if he might help. And he responded immediately that he'd be honored to help. And he assigned one of his captains, Captain Howard Hughes, to help out. And Miss Gibbons can tell you better than I how he made that connection. And then, of course, Miss Gibbons was able to put me in touch with other family members.
But Martha Gibbons, if you'd want to pick up the story there, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, yes. The very first day I got that call from Captain Hughes, I didn't have my glasses on. I was out in the yard working, and I answered the phone, and he said, "Is this Martha Gibbons?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "This is Captain Howard Hughes from the Richland County Sheriff's Department." Of course, that scares you to death. And he said, "Did you know Sergeant Steve Flaherty?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And so then he tells me that this Mr. Destott in California wants my phone number and how to get in touch with me. And 43 years after the fact, you know, you're just a little bit skeptical about what's going on. Who is this? What's all this about? So I immediately went inside, got my glasses put on, and saw that the phone call had come from a South Carolina state number. So then I gave Captain Hughes my information. He gave it to Mr. Destott. Mr. Destott got in touch with me, and it went from there.
Martha, I do want to ask about, in general, the feeling, the importance you place on getting these letters back and getting them returned to your family. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, as his uncle said when he received them on Saturday, the Army having determined him to be the next of kin, he was the one that actually they handed them to, he said it's just like having Steve back. It really was. Saturday was a day of total mixed emotions. It was very reminiscent of his funeral because lots of his extended family was there. His class was having a reunion Saturday evening. A lot of his classmates came. There were a lot of Vietnam veterans there. Everybody expressing their sympathy, remembrances. It was just very emotional, but just wonderful to have these letters back in the possession of the family.
Martha Gibbons and Robert Destott, thank you both for sharing your stories with us today.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.